high winds and tornadoes in the storm system. However, the wording on their advisories does not show a high level of confidence in that, nor the southerly track of the storm. A high of 85 inland, cooler near Lake Michigan. Right now, still some fog in the area. Headlights on for safety. 58 Kenosha, 55 in Racine. For WGTD News, I'm Dave McGrath. It's 10 past 8. The Morning Show with Greg Berg is next.
And we welcome you to the Thursday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Berg. We have a couple of different interviews for you today. A little bit later in the hour, we're going to be hearing from Doug Instanis of the Racine Theater Guild about their newest production. But first, we want to talk about a big event that is coming up this Saturday at Harbor Market. It is the annual plant sale of the Four Seasons Garden Club. And it is one of two major events which this group undertakes. But this is actually a very busy, active group all the year round. And I'm pleased to have with me in the studios for part one of today's morning show, Kendall Victorine, who is co-chair of the plant sale. Coming up, as I said, this Saturday at Harbor Market from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. And this is a substantial plant sale, well organized and an exciting thing to visit. I saw it with my own eyes last summer and look forward to seeing it again this coming Saturday. And I appreciate Kendall Victorine here to talk about the Four Seasons Garden Club and about the plant sale, how it sort of operates, and a couple of new aspects of it that are interesting to talk about as well. Kendall Victorine, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Thank you. It's nice to be here again.
I know we're mostly here to talk specifically about the plant sale, but you yourself said before we even started on the air that the Four Seasons Garden Club is actually a very active group with a lot of connections to local organizations and so on. Just in a brief nutshell, explain what the Four Seasons Garden Club is all about and what keeps you busy all year round, even aside from the plant sale.
Well, keeping us busy is mostly planning for all the things that we do. The club was actually started in 1964. It is a 501c3 nonprofit. And over 60 years, it's evolved to meet and expand the needs of the community and its membership. For example, we began giving scholarships primarily to Gateway back in 1975, and to date we have awarded about $50,000 worth. Mm. Chiwaukee Prairie is another one of our early recipients, and we've been donating to them, I believe, since 1976 for about $25,000 total. We also contribute to the St. Matthew's Elder Garden, to Hawthorne Hollow, International Crane Foundation, Hoy Nature Center, the local library, Arbor Day, and we maintain the Margaret Myers Garden down at Kemper Center, which we actually had professionally designed and constructed in 1985, and it has been maintained by our members ever since. We also have, Margaret Myers Garden has been kind of a separate thing. The last few years we've worked on completely redesigning it just because that is in the nature of a garden.
Hmm.
And last year we added in a little peninsula area in between the driveway and the bike path, we installed 5 arborvitae to create a little mini park. This year we invested in rebuilding the large raised bed in the center of the Margaret Meyer Garden, which had been in place for 40 years, and it was time. So it should last another 40 years.
Right. So it's a case where gardens are living. Not, they don't just have living plants in them, but the gardens themselves tend to grow and thrive and so on. And, of course, towards that end, I know that your members also are interested in learning more about gardening and the finer points of gardening over the course of the year with various guests who come and speak.
Yeah, absolutely. We have, I think it was right before COVID that we began in early spring, sometime around the 1st of April, to have a local community presentation, which is free to the public. And we try to get different speakers coming in. This year we had a wonderful woman who talked about birds. And that was at Kemper Center, and that was, you know, very well attended. We're actually very proud of forging relationships within the community because we are local, and our plant sale is a good example of that. These are all locally grown plants that we, as local members of the Garden Club, present for sale. All the monies that we collect go back into the community for all of these things. And as such, anytime we work, we have a wonderful relationship with Harbor Market, where the sale will be, and with Gateway. We've collaborated on things with Hawthorne Hollow, and as well as Kemper. And of course, Kemper, anytime you're dealing with Kemper, because it is a historical site, so it is technically a county park. So we work with Kenosha County as well.
Right.
To, and it's about beautification. You know, it's people. One of the things that we all really enjoy working at the garden, because we have rotating teams that work there every week, and just people on the bike path, people driving in, people who work at Kemper or visit Kemper, will see us out there and just stop and thank us for what we're doing. And that's a really good feeling. And it's probably one of the best things about, you know, about what we do.
That's fantastic. We're speaking in this portion of WGTD's Morning Show with Kendall Victorine from the Four Seasons Garden Club. And their annual plant sale is coming up this Saturday at Harbor Market from 9 in the morning until 2 in the afternoon. It really is a marvel of organization. And it just to look at it is sort of a spectacular undertaking. Explain for our listeners, for somebody who visits the plant sale, what exactly will they find and how is everything organized?
Well, we have a corner space, which is very helpful. And it is we have this year created actually a back entry because we try to respond to the way people use us and what they want. So we have our main entry, which is off of the kind of main street of the market itself. And then because we are at the corner that goes out to just a big lawn space where across from which people park, we realized that they were walking across the lawn and they would just kind of walk in the back, so we're creating a rear entry there. And we have boxes available for people to put their plants in. The setup is in a horseshoe shape of tables. They are arranged by categories: sun plants, shade plants, ground cover, hosta, sedum, etc. This year we are having and again this was in response to customers last year, we're having a table which is dedicated to pollinator plants. Now in reality all plants are pollinators for something.
Yeah.
But it's just kind of nice to be able to say, okay, these are some specific plants that you can use in your yard specifically for pollinators, whether they are bees or, you know, there's a lot of pollinator wasps, hummingbirds, what have you. So The plants are arranged on the tables by botanical names alphabetically, which is the only accurate way to identify a plant. Otherwise, you're talking about common names, which can get extremely confusing.
Sure, jargon and so
exactly,
on.
Exactly, yeah.
Nicknames.
Yeah. The pricing system is color-coded. There is a colored stick in each pot, and then we have signs on the tables which correspond to the prices. We are completely staffed by Garden Club members, and these are the growers. So if you have any questions, come and ask any of us. We may not know the answer, but we will try and find out. Some people, we have learned, bring shopping lists, which is actually a very good idea because we do know what we have. We've handled it enough by now. All the Garden Club members will be wearing necklaces, which have the pricing on it. The checkout will be under the white tent, and it is cash or check only with a phone number. There is also an ATM at the museum, which opens at 10 o'clock. We do have a small holding area if you're shopping at the market, and we will also help you get your plants to your car. You can drive up if you have a lot.
Mm. And it's also interesting, and some people really do. I mean, that's one of the...
Oh,
it's so fun to watch. some people buy a fairly modest amount. Others come, walk away heavy laden with all kinds of treasures they've found.
Well, it's interesting because, some people say, "Well, I'm starting a garden. What do I need?" Mm. And so these are all good plants to start with because they're very reliable and
they grow here.
Rewarding, yeah. Yes. Another thing that we've introduced this year is we have signs that we had made up with a QR code. And they are for whether you're interested in membership and joining, whether you're interested in finding out more information about the garden walk. And if you take a picture of the QR code with your phone, that takes you directly to our website. And then you can pull up the menu and find out what events are coming up, when our meetings are, and it just gives you a lot more information about the club itself.
Very good. Again, this annual plant sale is coming up at Harbor Market in Kenosha this Saturday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. I know that at your plant sale, I don't remember if we mentioned this yet, you're going to be accepting donations for a brand new undertaking for the Four Seasons Garden Club, something really special that you hope very soon will appear at Kemper Center, and that is namely a Blue Star Memorial honoring veterans past, present, and future. Explain a little bit about what a Blue Star Memorial is and what prompted the club to want to perhaps be part of this.
Well, this is something that's been under discussion for within the club for quite a while. The Blue Star program was initiated in 1944 by the National Garden Clubs. It started in New Jersey as a way to honor the armed forces of the United States. And I found it interesting that they felt that it was more appropriate to create a living memorial in terms of plants and small parks with a plaque than to put in a stone monument. As a gardener, I like that.
Yeah.
So it was initially intended to go along, they would take a stretch of highway, like 2 miles or 5 miles, and beautify it. Maybe they planted 2,000 dogwoods or something. And then as time went on, it expanded to be any place that was, like, for example, a rest stop or a historical site. And a park, So what we thought was that, first of all, we discovered that Kenosha has no Blue Star Memorials in the entire county.
Hmm.
Racine, for example, has two. And so we investigated, and then we looked at this, like, mini park that we created a year ago with the Arborvitae down at Kemper near the Margaret Myers Garden. And we thought this would be a good spot because it is on the kind of turnaround where you drive by it. And what we'd like to do is to get a substantial stone, a natural stone, maybe 3 to 4 feet high. The plaque itself is something that we purchased from the national organization. and it can have as many donors and contributors as you would like. And that will be placed on the stone. The stone is going to be a good size stone to keep in the scale of the ultimate size of the arborvita. And then we've already started planting this year some ground cover in that area, and we're going to install a bench, and so it becomes a little mini park. And we've approximated the cost of this at about $2,000 to $2,500. So that's what we would like to try and raise. And we're starting with our plant sale this year. We're going to have a table and a donation jar. So if people would like to contribute to that, we would be ever so grateful. And I think it's just a thing that, you know, everyone knows someone either in their family or a friend who has served in the armed forces. And so I think it's something that, you know, the entire community can get behind. And once again, we're a very community minded operations. So.
Absolutely. It folds beautifully into what your club is all about. That's fantastic. So yes, the people who are interested in making donations for this planned Blue Star Memorial can do so at the Four Seasons Garden Club annual plant sale, again, that is coming up this Saturday, beginning at 9 a.m. I imagine that you and others who are actually participating are going to have to show up a whole lot earlier than 9 a.m. on Saturday. That's a long day, I bet.
Oh, yes. Yeah, I'll probably be up about 3:30 to, you know, get everything going and be there on time and set up. So it is, but we enjoy it, and it's a very rewarding kind of thing to do. Plus, you know, at the end of the day, we've shared what we do with a lot of people.
Yeah, that's absolutely great. And your club has a lovely website. We would invite people to Google Four Seasons Garden Club Kenosha and visit that website to learn more about the club, their events coming up and so on, and how people can become a part of it. Kendall Victorine, co-chair of the annual plant sale for the Four Seasons Garden Club. We appreciate you stopping by the morning show today. We hope it's yet another successful plant sale. We hope Mother Nature cooperates with some lovely weather on Saturday, and we look forward to further conversations.
Thank you, Greg. It's always fun to come on your show and get this information out to the community.
You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. I'm Gregory Bird. And Kendall Victorine also wanted me to remind everyone that the second Saturday in July is the Four Seasons Gardens Club's other big event of the year, the Secret Garden Walk in Kenosha. And of course, we'll be doing a morning show about that just ahead of that annual lovely event. We're coming up on exactly 8:28. You're listening to the Friday Morning Show on WGTD. Part two is coming up in just a moment. And for part two of today's program, I'm happy to welcome back into our studios Doug Instanis, Managing and Artistic Director of the Racine Theater Guild. Here primarily to talk about the newest production of the Racine Theater Guild, the musical Legally Blonde, which opens tomorrow night and runs for the next three weekends. By the way, at the very end of the hour, in part three of today's program, we'll be highlighting for you this weekend's concert by the Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra. But first, Doug Instanis, we welcome you back to the morning show.
Good morning.
Good to have you here during a very, very busy week. Ahead of us talking about Legally Blonde, it occurs to me that since your last visit to the morning show, a really special event occurred at the Racine Theater Guild that I thought I would give you a chance to just make mention of, namely a memorial tribute to Norm McPhee, longtime artistic director of the Racine Theater Guild. You were there. You welcomed a large crowd to that event. I wonder if you have any thoughts looking back on what occurred on that day.
Well, it's, you know, a sad but glorious time to highlight and honor a very important person in the Racine Theater Guild history. Norm McPhee built the building, as we say. You know, we went from a small community theater in a church to having a state-of-the-art facility and being one of the most successful community theaters, if we can brag a little bit, you know, in the state or in the region, actually. And mostly due to him and his hard work and his dedication. And, you know, he built the organization, he built the rules, he built the standards for, and, you know, he had tough love. And I think a lot of people talked about that, where he pushed us harder than we thought we could go, and we were really proud of ourselves. At the end of the day, we walked tall, we felt good about ourselves, and he built an organization. And, you know, it's, you know, sad. And as I told the crowd, one of my first memories of Norm was him speaking at a funeral. I said, boy, Norm is really good at this. And, of course, I didn't know anybody, right? I didn't. Now I've been in 30 years, and I know people. And I know what he's gone through with that, the spending 30 years with people, and then they pass. And we always talk about the Theater Guild as a family. And, you know, we lost Dad or Grandpa, depending on your point of view. And so it was wonderful. A lot of people came back that had worked with him 30, 40 years ago, had all these fond memories and got to share that. And we had a nice reception. And Norm's daughters were there, granddaughters sang. So it was wonderful, but also sad that we lost, you know, our mentor.
Right. And, of course, just seeing that gathering of people there representing multiple generations of the Guild, that really said a lot about his legacy and his impact. Well, life goes on at the Racine Theater Guild, of course, and in a very vibrant fashion. As a matter of fact, the current season finishes out with this musical that is about to open at the Guild, namely a musical called Legally Blonde. Based on a well-known movie, which in turn was based on a pretty well-known novel of the same name. But I think it's safe to say that this is a musical that is very easy to misunderstand in terms of what it's all about. Give our listeners kind of a summary of Legally Blonde, and especially what I'm talking about in terms of the way it is sometimes sort of misunderstood.
Well, I always thought of this as a chick flick. My wife and my daughter made me watch, and, you know, okay, it's about this young woman who is in love with a guy, and he goes off to college and wants to be more serious and finds her to be just fluffy and you know, not very bright. And so to win him back, she gets into Harvard Law School because she is very bright.
So she follows him there.
She follows them to Harvard Law School. And spends a lot of her time trying to win this boy back. And in the meantime, she meets another gentleman who helps her along the way, and people that count her out and look at her as some dumb blonde. You know, she just likes to wear pink, and she's worried about her hair, and, you know, she's got a frou-frou dog, and they don't take her seriously. They only look skin, you know, on the surface. And of course, at the end, we find out that she is really bright, and we should not judge a book by its cover. And there's all these crazy and kooky people that come into her life, from Paulette, who runs the hair care facility, to the UPS guy, to you know, nasty teachers and things like that. And she's got these her Delta Nu girls from her sorority follow her around and give her advice. They're the Greek chorus that speak into her ear about life. And so it sounds like a chick flick. And I went into it that way. And then I got into it and went, wow, I really like this. This is good. It's got great music. It's got great dancing. And, you know, we all need to be reminded that, okay, we make judgments about people. We look at them and we immediately put them in a category. And people are more complex than that. And we all need to look deeper and find out what's really important in life. And Elle goes through that. She thinks being married to this gorgeous guy is what she wants out of life. And then she learns there's a whole lot more, some more people that she can help, a difference that she can make, and that she should be proud of herself. She doesn't need to change how she looks for other person or for a job. She is who she is, and take me like I am, you know? So you know, on the surface, it sounds like, oh, this is just silliness. But there are some so moving songs and so heartfelt moments that they're doing great. I'm not often surprised on how much I like something. Yeah. You know, when I go into it going, oh, well, I'm, you know, the audience will like it, so we'll do it. And then we got into it and it's like, I really like this. And I got a great cast. The cast is very excited about it. They love the show. This is a young person show, and so we had a lot of people try out because it's like their favorite, like hey, it's their favorite show ever, like, and right. I'm excited to see people. We're excited to have an audience and share that with them because right. I think they're doing an amazing job.
It, as you were describing that, it occurs to me that the mistake that a lot of us make in appraising this musical, I mean, just assuming it that it's fluffy and fun and with no substance, that's exactly parallel to kind of the central story.
Right,
of
exactly.
This main character who's not properly appreciated. I mean, quick assumptions made about what she's all about, and it's much, much deeper, as is this show. I was surprised to read, I mean, I guess I knew this, but I was reminded in reading up for this interview that this musical did not do well on Broadway. It was not a financial success. It was critically not well received. It was nominated for a few Tony Awards, but did not win a single one. And yeah, I'm with you. I saw this done at Carthage a few years ago, and I really loved it. And I'm mystified why this was not a gigantic hit on Broadway, but for some reason it just wasn't.
And I think it, you know, the financial thing is, you know, perception a lot. And I think, you know, I have time to see Les Mis or Phantom or Legally Blonde. Well, I'm going to Broadway, so I'm not going to go see Legally Blonde. And I think, you know, with all the competition that's out there and the perception that it's just a fluffy little silly musical.
Right.
And you know what? It's okay. I remember seeing, I think, Daniel Radcliffe and How to Succeed in Business. And that was fun, too. It was just fun and had some message in there, but you walk away singing the songs and just having a really good time, and there's value in that, I think. And I think especially in today's world, you know, we have a lot of heaviness going on and a lot of things, you know, coming out of COVID, and we need to have a good time.
Yeah.
And this will absolutely provide that.
Right. You've already raved about your cast. I wanted to give you a chance to maybe talk about a couple of specific people in the cast who have challenging assignments and are doing very, very well.
Well, the show revolves around Elle, and Maddie Anderlink is, you know, as you mentioned, Carthage. She's a Carthage alum and Theater Guild regular, and she's on stage, you know, 95% of the time. It's a huge load for her. And, of course, we have to identify with her character as she moves forward and she changes, and the audiences are just going to adore her and want to know her, and she's very likable and very talented and doing an excellent job. And then, you know, countering that, she's got the good-looking, somewhat slimy but really likable Warner as the boyfriend, and Logan Muniz is just great. He is so likable with just a touch of sleazy, you know, or I don't know, insincereness or something. I don't know what the right word is, but he is great. And to contrast that, Connor Benson plays Emmett, who is the earthy, crunchy lawyer friend who helps her out, and is very similar to her in a way where, you know, he's got corduroy on and he's not really doesn't care too much about how he looks, and he's a really bright guy. And the trio is really, really fun. They're all doing an excellent job, and they're all very likable in their own ways. Even little Warner, you know, you feel bad for him at the end. And so it's fun. And they sing well. They dance well. We have the kooky salon owner, Paulette, played by Kimberly Gibson, and she is just a hoot. She loves everything Irish. And she's very likable. And Megan Benson plays the kind of the uptight girlfriend of Warner, who
Vivian.
She's judges Elle, and then she comes to a realization that don't judge a book by its cover. And the three ladies that play the Delta News are great. I mean, everybody. I can go on about everybody in the cast. They all. And the fun thing about this show is there's a lot of bit parts where somebody comes in and plays the the UPS driver, who's really fun, or comes in and plays the deadbeat boyfriend, who's fun, or one of the witnesses is he gay or European? There's a whole song about that and trying to impeach his testimony because he said that he was having an affair with Brooke, so they got to find out if he's gay or European. And so there's so many. Everybody gets a moment to shine in this play. You know, you walk away remembering all these kooky characters. So it's very fun for the ensemble because they're not just one of 20 in the background. They all have these little bit parts and these little internal things that they do that make them stand out. So, I think everybody's going to see something a little different at the Theater Guild and come away with a different character that they fall in love with.
Mm. It sounds like, in terms of the production, there is a lot going on. I mean, even aside from the cast and their performances that they are delivering. And I remember that from seeing it at Carthage as well, that it's a kind of a colorful, splashy show with different settings and so on and a lot going on. And you and your crew get to figure that out.
Well, in the Broadway version, of course, they have hydraulics and fly things in and things come out of the ground. And on a proscenium stage, which means the audience just sits at one side, it's easier to do. When you make a movie into a play and have all these different locations that move within one or two lines and they flow, one person walks from one space into another space, it's more difficult at the Theater Guild with a thrust stage. So the last couple of days, we've really been locking the scene shifts down. And the crew's doing an amazing job. The coordination between the stage manager, the lighting people, props people, the scene shift people, the costume people has to be just right on. You have 10 seconds to switch this before the lights come up on you, and you have 15 seconds to change that costume. So somebody's hiding in the shower, somebody's hiding in the closet. We're rolling in units with crew people hiding on them. So when the actor comes in there, boom, they change the costume immediately. And that's the fun. You know, the actor walks in to a closet wearing one outfit and walks out seconds later wearing something else.
Wow.
So it's it takes practice, and it takes a lot of practice and coordination. And the crew is so important to the success of this show, and I continue to tell them that, you just kind of think, well, I'm moving tables. Well, that's not a big deal. It is a big deal. It's a huge deal. And if it all works together, the audience won't even notice you. But if it doesn't work, they will notice you, and then we don't want that.
Sure. And, of course, when you see that happening right before your eyes in a live theatrical performance, that's really the coolest thing of all. I mean, it's one thing when something happens in a film and you don't know how they achieved that, but you know they did something or other. But when it happens right in front of your eyes, that is so exciting.
Yeah, we talked about that. So there's nothing more satisfying or interesting than a well-done scene change where someone comes in, moves this, goes out that way, and it seamlessly, looks so professional and flows beautifully within the action of the play. It's not stop, scene change, stop, scene change, stop. Mm. It's just all part of the action. And so, especially in this play, it's very important.
Yeah. We're talking with Doug Instanis, who is the director, stage director for the musical Legally Blonde, which is opening tomorrow night at the Racine Theater Guild and running for the next three weekends, closing on the 1st of June. We've already touched on the fact that this is a musical that has some really serious, substantial messages sort of woven into the fabric of the work. But my recollection from seeing the show is it's also some messages, like a moral of the story that doesn't like clobber you over the head. Right. It seems like it's woven really nicely into the fabric of the story in a really natural way. Do you agree?
I do. And you know, nobody wants to be preached at, and we all know what it is to be a good person, but sometimes we need to be reminded, and we get very judgy, and I think it's okay to be reminded that, to look a little deeper into people, and you don't know what their day is like or what they've been through, and they don't know what you've been through. So getting to know each other before we make judgments, I think, is just a nice reminder. And you get to do that with massive dance numbers and cool songs. Mm. So it's not like someone preaching at you all the time. It's watching this person's journey, a person that we learn to love and respect, and we get to see her grow. Mm. And that's fun.
Yeah. I am assuming from the way you kind of describe the excitement of this mostly young cast that they came into this on fire, as in terms of being excited and already really knowing Legally Blonde. I mean, this is probably not a work where you needed to sit down and have a watching the movie party.
No, they knew it very well. They knew the characters. They have their favorite parts. And that made it for interesting discussions, because many times they go, well, you know, in the movie they did this, or I saw a production where they did that. And it's like, okay, yeah, that might work here, or no, that doesn't work because we're a thrust stage and we're a little different, or something like that. But they all came in with lots of creative thoughts and ideas, and that just makes it richer when you've got 28 people who love the project and all have ideas on how to make it better. You're bound to have a hit show.
Mm. Is that an issue when something is this well known in terms of people trying to do something that's already been done rather than making this what it needs to be on the Guild stage?
Yeah, I think so. I think, you know, Maddie is not Reese Witherspoon, right? And, you know, she's not a movie star. She could be, but she decided to be a teacher instead. But I think you do look at that and you judge certain things. But I think a movie and the play are so different that I think you can really appreciate the differences and, you know, the songs and being right there, you know, 20 feet from the dance numbers. It's a whole different experience. It's more visceral. You know, you feel the music, you feel that energy. So I think you can have your favorite parts, and I think we do a good job of honoring that. So when people, they will come, they have fond memories of the movie, but they won't be going, wow, you know, in the movie they did this. I think they'll judge it on its own and have a wonderful experience just because you're in the room.
Mm. That really does make an exciting difference. So again, Legally Blonde is opening at the Racine Theater Guild tomorrow night and running for 3 weekends through the 1st of June. And what do people do if they want to be sure to get a ticket?
Well, you can call the box office at 262-633-4218, or you can go online at our webpage, www.racinetheater.org. And please be careful when you go online. We've had a number of people that have purchased tickets on scam websites where they're paying $65, $75, $100 a ticket. If you ever pay more than $22 at the Theater Guild, not including a handling charge, but the ticket, our highest ticket price is $22, you're on the wrong site, and I can't give you your money back. What they do is you pay them $100, then they buy the ticket for $22. So it's not against the law, because you are getting a ticket, but you've massively overpaid. So please be careful. We've tried to get the word out that just go to the Racine Theater Guild site and purchase tickets. And again, the highest ticket price is $22, and I think there's a small handling fee when you purchase it online. But it's not $65. It's not $125.
Right. And otherwise, call the box office or even visit the box office in person. Right. But make sure you're purchasing your ticket directly from the Racine Theater Guild so you're getting a properly priced ticket. Good advice. Doug Instanis, the stage director of the Racine Theater Guild, and the artistic and managing director of the Racine Theater Guild and the stage director for this production of Legally Blonde. Best wishes to you, Doug, to the talented cast and efficient crew for a wonderful, successful run of Legally Blonde.
Thank you.
It's 8:49 here on WGTD, and to finish out today's Music Potpourri, we want to say a quick word about the concert that is coming up Saturday night out in Lake Geneva at Bigfoot High School. It finishes out the current season of the Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra under the direction of David Anderson. It's a concert that is going to include the Sixth Symphony of Antonin Dvorak and a piece that I have loved for a long, long time, a concert overture by Mendelssohn, but not Felix Mendelssohn, but rather an overture by his brilliantly talented sister, Fanny Mendelssohn Hensel. And in recent years, a lot of wonderful music by Fanny Mendelssohn has come to light, been published, been professionally recorded and shared with the world in a way that probably Fanny Mendelssohn herself could never have imagined. She came to maturity as a composer back in the early 19th century when in at least many places and in many families it was not quite proper for a young woman to be a professional musician and or professional composer. But Fanny Mendelssohn fervently desired to follow in her brother's footsteps and to be a composer, composed a great number of wonderful songs and some other works as well, including this scintillating overture in C major. We're going to hear just a few minutes of this delightful piece, which will open Saturday night's concert of the Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra. A taste of the Overture in C Major of Fanny Mendelssohn Hensel, which will open Saturday night's concert by the Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra, a concert which will also include the Sixth Symphony of Dvorak and the Sacred and Profane Dances for Harp by Claude Debussy. You can go to lakegenevaorchestra.org for more information or call them at 262-359-9072. Saturday night's concert will be at Bigfoot High School. Rounding out this current season of the Lake Geneva Symphony Orchestra under the direction of their artistic director, David Anderson. It's 8:58. Tomorrow on the morning show, we will be previewing for you the next American Experience documentary on PBS, which will be airing on Monday night. The documentary film is titled Mr. Polaroid, and it tells the truly fascinating story of the brilliant Edwin Land, responsible for inventing the Polaroid camera, one of the truly revolutionary inventions of the mid-20th century. And I speak with one of the experts who is one of the guests we hear from in that documentary film. That's tomorrow on The Morning Show. Today is going to be partly cloudy, quite warm, still some lingering morning fog, a 50% chance of afternoon rain. Some of that rainfall could be in the form of showers and thunderstorms, including possibly severe weather. We are headed for a high of 85 degrees, a little cooler near the lake. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, a 50% chance of rain through midnight, and overnight low of 58. Tomorrow, Friday, mostly sunny. Again, a 50% chance of afternoon rain, high of 86. Sunshine on Saturday and not quite as warm. This is WGTD HD, Kenosha, Racine.